Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It is a very rare day for New York City Police Commissioner Ray Kelly to publicly apologize for something, but that's exactly what he did yesterday for appearing in a film called The Third Jihad, which was used to train police officers. Here is a short excerpt from the trailer for this controversial movie.
It's an entire movement, and the idea of it is hatred for our way of life.
The document states that their work in America is a kind of a grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within.
On our website, we talk about the Islamic State of North America by 2050.
Islam will dominate. That's what it will be.
Is the Islamic State a threat to American security? Yes, it is.
Part of the trailer for the film, The Third Jihad. The NYPD this week pulled the film from use after an officer complained about offensive material in its contents, which included a statement that much of Muslim leadership here in America, as was implied in that trailer, is trying to infiltrate and dominate the United States. And it shows a black and white Muslim flag flying over the White House, an inflammatory image that suggests American Muslims are bent on somehow replacing the American flag and our democracy. Let's find out more with journalist Tom Robbins, who first brought this film to the public's attention in a Village Voice article a year ago, and Liza Goitein, co-director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice, which has been learning more about its use at the NYPD through a Freedom of Information Act request. Thanks to both of you for coming on. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Tom, the makers of this film are defending it as an accurate description of the Islamist terrorist threat. So why have the mayor and police commissioner decided it's offensive?
Well, even when I first asked Paul Brown about the movie, he told me, it was a year ago, he said it was wacky. It's a truly offensive, insidious film. I mean, just take a look at it. It's so over the top. It makes you believe that, you know, not only is every Muslim organization not to be trusted, but that there is this kind of international conspiracy bent on taking over the White House. It's an extraordinary film.
Liza, same question. I haven't seen the film, but the NYPD trains its officers to deal with terrorist threats, including Islamist ones. The Al-Qaeda or jihadi mindset is real among a very few people, but those are the ones the police have to be concerned about. So training about this kind of radicalism per se would not be out of bounds, right?
Training about proper counterterrorism strategy is certainly not out of bounds. But what we want to see is the police force using evidence-based methods for their work. And I think, you know, again, it's at this point, it's almost redundant to say that the film was inappropriate because it's been said so many times. It's been said by the NYPD. You know, Mayor Bloomberg said that whoever agreed to show it showed terrible judgment. So I think that point is really well established, and your listeners can see the film for themselves if they go to the New York Times story from 2 days ago. There's a link. So really, the problem is that we want the police force to have in place training curricula that will make them effective in fighting counterterrorism, and we want to make sure the police force has the proper institutional mechanisms for oversight to make sure that that's happening.
We also have a link on our site if people want to see it at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. Tom, take us back to your original Village Voice article of a year ago. How did you get wind of this film, and what did you write about it in January of 2011?
I heard about it from a cop I've known for a long time who told me, this officer said, that as part of their regular training under counterterrorism methods, this officer was shown this movie by instructors there, warned that some people considered it offensive, and went out, got a copy of it himself, and brought it to me and said, "You should see the nonsense they're showing us." And I wasn't particularly disturbed until I looked at it. And then I called Paul Brown, who's the top guy for communicating with the press for the police department, someone I know for a long time and who once worked with me at the Daily News. And Paul said, Tom, I've already checked into this. It never happened. It was never shown. And I said, I think you need to check again because I've got an officer who tells me that it was just shown to a class. And then we talked later, and he said, it was shown, it was a mistake, a couple of people saw it, and it's been withdrawn. And I wrote the story after talking to other people who were in the film who were disturbed by the fact that their clips had been used in such a insidious movie. And one of the other questions I had for Paul at the time was, what about the interview with the police commissioner, Ray Kelly, which appears to be and claimed by the makers that he actually sat for an interview? And Paul was very clear to me at the time. He said that was scraped from other sources, that they did not sit for an interview. So I wrote that story back then. And, you know, bless the Brennan Center, they followed up and filed a Freedom of Information request. And I now know that little of what I was told was true.
The Freedom of Information Act is the law that allows citizens access to most records of public agencies if you ask for them. Liza, do you have all the NYPD records you were seeking through the Freedom of Information Act request you filed?
We do not. It's actually, in New York, it's called the Freedom of Information Law, but it's essentially the same thing. And we requested a variety of different categories of information relating to this film. And our interest was in finding out what sorts of oversight and accountability mechanisms were in place. And so one of the questions that we asked was, what are your procedures for approving and authorizing training materials? We also asked, what steps were taken in response to the showing of this film? What sorts of different changes in the rules or instructions have been issued since then? And a few other questions like that. And we have not yet received any information in answer to those requests. So we actually have an appeal that we have filed.
So you're working on this. Tom, you broke this story. The New York Times and Michael Powell, their reporter, have been advancing this story. And we know now that about 1,500 police officers have been shown the film as part of their training since 2010. Mayor Bloomberg said this about whoever authorized it for that use.
No, nor was Commissioner Kelly. It was not done at the police academy, as reported. It was done someplace else, and as soon as they found out about it, they stopped it and took it down. Somebody exercised some terrible judgment. I don't know who. We'll find out.
Do we know who, Liza, who authorized the film for training purposes?
Well, it depends what you mean by who authorized the film. I mean, there is one particular sergeant who has been identified, I suppose, as the person who, I guess, was the immediate cause of the film being shown. But that's, you know, one of the issues that we're trying to get to the bottom of. Is it really the case that in the NYPD, training materials are determined by one person saying, hey, let's show this film? I certainly hope not, but we're trying to get more information and more transparency on what those procedures are. One way or another, it's the responsibility of the NYPD to have appropriate training materials. It's not the responsibility of any particular one officer. So, again, it goes back to this is an issue of oversight. This is an issue of accountability. It's a systemic issue. It's not just somebody showed a film.
And, Tom, do you know anything about the context of how the film was used in training? The mayor said there it was not used at the police academy. Then again, press accounts say it was shown on a continuous loop. What does continuous loop mean in this respect?
I thought you could tell me. I don't really understand. Look, you know, the other issue here, I mean, Lisa just ticked off the big questions, transparency. But, you know, for me, the issue is credibility. I mean, as a reporter, when you ask questions for the person who is the responsible spokesperson for the world's largest police department, you expect a good faith effort to be able to get a clear and correct answer. And it's very possible that Paul Brown, when he's first asked about whether or not there was an interview, he didn't recall it. But what stunned me was to read Michael Powell's story and to realize that a year later, he was repeating the same explanation that it was came from other sources and then say, oh, actually, I arranged that interview and I recommended it. And they sat for 90 minutes with the police commissioner. getting 90 minutes with Ray Kelly to sit down with the camera is a big deal in my business. When I worked at the Village Voice, we had a hard time getting him on the phone, let alone being able to sit with him for that period of time. So credibility is like one of the big issues that why I think that people are really asking questions about what happened here.
Here is a clip of Ray Kelly in the film. He says nothing inflammatory or hateful himself.
Our nightmare scenario is a nuclear detonation. And then the second down, the second rung from that, you might say, is a dirty bomb.
So, Elizabeth, your issue is not so much what Ray Kelly said on tape or what of Ray Kelly was used in this film, but the way the film itself was used to train recruits and the way the department is handling it from Tom's description there, which has now emerged in the Times and elsewhere. It seems like they were just lying way after the fact of what they really knew, even if they just made an original mistake in allowing the commissioner to sit for this or allowing this to be used once or twice, just lying about the extent of all this because it must have been known.
I think what concerns us is the nothing to see here sort of attitude, which is reflected, you know, first in giving inaccurate information about what happened. But even when forced to acknowledge what happened, we're still, you know, Commissioner Kelly and Paul Brown are still to some degree trying to downplay it and say, you know, it's been dealt with, you know, there's somebody's been reprimanded. It's no big deal. And I think that you have to contrast that response with the response of the FBI and Attorney General Holder when some inflammatory training materials that the FBI was using came to light. And the Attorney General said, you know, we're gonna stop the presses. We're going to go back and look at all of our training materials. I'm ordering a comprehensive review. This can't happen. We need to make sure that all of our training materials are appropriate. We're ordering this review. A similar reaction or similar distinction that you can see between the NYPD's response to some of the AP stories that broke last summer about the NYPD working with the CIA in a way that might not have been appropriate. The NYPD said, nothing to see here. The CIA ordered an inspector general investigation. And I think the key, again, is that at the federal level, you have institutional mechanisms for oversight and accountability. You have congressional oversight. You have inspectors general. The NYPD really doesn't have any of that, and so it's easy for them to say to anything like this that comes up, you know, no big deal, we're taking care of it.
Elizabeth Goitin from the Brennan Center for Justice, Tom Robbins from the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism and former Village Voice reporter on their investigations and what else is known about the anti-Muslim film that was used on a so-called continuous loop to train NYPD officers since 2010. 1,500 officers seen it. Now that reporting has brought this more to light, the NYPD has pulled it, and this is causing embarrassment for Deputy Commissioner Paul Brown, who is the PR director for Commissioner Kelly. Here is Brown on WNYC's The Takeaway yesterday morning, eating crow for agreeing to have Kelly appear in the film.
I agreed and regret that, considering I thought that somebody with those credentials would have produced a more objective production.
Tom, who is he referring to by somebody with those credentials who he would have expected to produce a more objective film?
I gather just from the full interview that I listened to, he's referring to somebody, one of the producers, who also had worked for NBC Dateline and had some involvement with the Clinton administration on security issues at some point. That's all I know.
So, Elizabeth, how did this happen? It seems that Brown thinks he was maybe duped or just trusted too much, a previously trusted journalist who worked for NBC News, who said he was making a documentary about the terrorist threat and wanted an interview with Kelly, and Brown didn't dig deep enough into what kind of propaganda film the guy might actually be making. Does that sound about like your understanding of what happened here?
Well, again, we have conflicting stories because Paul Brown is saying that, you know, he was told that the film was going to be about the nature of the current terrorist threat or something like that. But the producers told Michael Powell that, in fact, they had told him it was going to be a film about radical Islam. And I think if that's the case, when you hear those words, your ears need to perk up and you need to ask a few more questions about what this film is really going to be doing.
And the distinction that's important here is between a film that is about radical Islam and a film that portrays mainstream American Islam as radical Islam. Is that what's important here? Because I can tell you that people are calling in to say, well, NYPD officers should be exposed to what radical Islamists are thinking and maybe planning for the United States.
I think that the NYPD absolutely should be looking at the issue of terrorism, and that is terrorism of all kinds, and that includes terrorism committed by some groups that justify terrorism in the name of Islam. There's no doubt about it. I think this movie is something very different, and as we've all been saying, and I think it's absolutely critical if the NYPD wants to be doing its job and wants to be effective, that it be looking closely at what its training materials are and what sorts of films its commissioner gets involved with to make sure that, in fact, it is dealing with the terrorist threat in a way that's rational and evidence-based and not, a sort of horror flick claiming that mainstream Muslims across America are all incipient terrorists.
As Maggie Haberman from Politico tweeted last night, it is extremely rare for Commissioner Ray Kelly to publicly apologize. Tom, can you remember any other instance?
I can't, and credit to him for having said it. But that said, I mean, the explanation for what happened here is still a movable target, and I hope that someone does get more information. The idea that, as the commissioner said yesterday, that it was withdrawn after someone in the class complained about it, well, that doesn't explain how someone in January of 2011 who talked to me and who had seen it at least a month after they said it had been withdrawn, and Paul Brown insisted to me at that point it had never been shown. I mean, none of these stories square. So, I mean, there's still a lot we don't understand about what happened here.
Part of the context here is Kelly is already under fire for tactics that were reported by the AP. That AP says were routine infiltration of mosques to sniff around for terrorists without suspicion of anything or anyone suspicious or specific. Kelly denies that report. But how does this training film story relate to the ongoing fraying relations with Muslim New Yorkers, Elizabeth, in your opinion?
Well, it goes back to the issue that I was talking about. It goes back to what appears to be the absence of any sort of oversight or accountability. When these AP stories broke, again, as you said, the reaction of the NYPD was to deny everything. And in a similar pattern to what's happening now, documents were produced that showed that, in fact, a lot of what they were denying was, in fact, happening. And so at that point, the NYPD kind of switched from denial to downplaying. And in a city council hearing, Commissioner Kelly refused to provide any details, but just simply said over and over again, we are complying with the law. That is not reassuring to the Muslim community. That is not reassuring. It shouldn't be reassuring to New Yorkers in general. It's not. First of all, it's not taking responsibility, but it's also not seeking the level of accountability that says, okay, something went off track in our agency. And that's a problem. And we need to figure out what went on track, take a close look, and find out how to put it back on track. And there's just no no one in the NYPD there's no one who can independently oversee the NYPD and say exactly that.
We're just about out of time. But Tom, one of the backers of the producers of this film, which is a group called the Clarion Fund, is Sheldon Adelson, one of America's wealthiest people and a billionaire who has given the Newt Gingrich campaign $10 million of help in the last 2 weeks alone. Is there any connecting the dots to Adelson in any way, or is he too far removed?
I don't know. I did try to establish the money back in January, but I'll say this. One of the things that I did a lot of reporting about the content of the movie, before I wrote my column, because there were some things they said about some organizations, organizations that I had already dealt with on stories previously, and I wanted to see what the truth was of their allegations. And one of the people I talked to was someone else interviewed in the movie who also had high-level law enforcement bona fides, as Paul Brown would say. And that person also felt duped, as Ray Kelly now feels, and I think legitimately so, because the point he made to me was that in law enforcement, post 9/11, you need to be able to reach out to the Muslim American community. And if everybody in the Muslim American community is a suspect or part of this jihad, then you can't talk to anybody. And that's the thing that had really made him angry about the movie. And I think that's why I call it Insidious, is it really is the equivalent of that terrible document, The Protocols of the Wise Men of Zion, that was distributed so widely at the turn of the last century, describing that all Jews were part of a conspiracy. That's why this movie is really troubling, and why I think that steps have to be taken to try to go back to those officers who saw it and say, hey, this is not the way we see the world.
And Letitia James, the city councilwoman from Brooklyn, has called for retraining all 1,500 of the officers who had seen it. I guess you're referring to that. Tom, do you think anybody needs to resign over this?
I'm not going to go there. I think that credibility is a real issue here, and that's something that the NYPD needs to work out both with the public and with the press.
Tom Robbins, former Village Voice reporter who first broke the story of this film being used to train NYPD officers. He now teaches at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. Elizabeth Goitin, who's the co-director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice, who's been digging for more information about what happens at the NYPD in this instance with Freedom of Information Law requests. Thank you both very much for coming on and talking about it with us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And again, listeners, we have a link to the film itself if you want to view for yourself and judge for yourself on our webpage, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Coming up next, back to the campaign trail, we will talk about the role of Latinos in the Florida primary. This is going to be the first election this year with a sizable minority vote. A fair number of Cuban Republicans and other Latino Republicans in Florida will play clips from a Univision forum with the candidates yesterday and more. Stay with us.